Hello, everyone out there. This is Peter Harris from Commercial Property Advisors, author of the book, Commercial Real Estate Investing for Dummies, and coach and mentor to many commercial real estate investors all across this great nation of ours. The title and subject of today's podcast is 5 Multifamily Mistakes to Avoid. Every now and then, everyone makes mistakes, but they can be avoided if you are aware of them. And my goal is to make you aware of the pitfalls that are essential to your success as a multifamily investor. These are the top 5 multifamily mistakes to avoid. Let's get started right here. I'm going to share a real quick 30-second story with you. Warren Buffett, the greatest investor of all time, has made a mistake that cost his company billions of dollars. Here's what he did. In 1993, he bought this company called the Dexter Shoe Company, and here's the mistake that he made. He projected that the income of this company would be here, but it ended up being down here, and it was, as a result, he thought the value of that company would be here, but as a result of the lower income, the valuation of the company ended up being down here, and he got rid of the company and lost $15 billion. Huge sum of money because of a miscalculation of what the property could do in income. That is mistake number one for multifamily investing. Mistake number one is an overconfident performa. Performa is a table of what your income and expenses and NOI would be. Let me give you a quick example of what an overconfident performa could do and what the detriment is. So let's say that you found a deal out there from a broker, and I'll use a broker as an example. Some of my best friends are brokers, so they totally understand this. Let's say the broker gave you this deal, and he says the income is $80,000, the expenses are $40,000, you have a net operating income of $40,000. After you subtract your mortgage, you have a cash flow of $25,000. So pretty cool, right? So the broker tells you this is what you can do if you operate it well. So this is what's being sold. So let's say you get it under contract, you're excited, you're going to make $25,000 per year based upon what the broker gave you. And then during your due diligence period, you pull the actual seller financials, what it actually is, so that the income is about $5,000 lower. Not too much lower here, but it is lower. The expenses are a bit higher, so you have lower income, higher expenses. That's completely normal when you look at a broker deal. It's completely normal. So that means your NOI is going to be lower too, by $7,000. You have the same mortgage here, so $33,000 minus $15,000. The cash flow ends up being $18,000, not the $25,000 that you thought it would be. So this is normal. So being overconfident of your broker performa is a mistake. So what if the performa is not possible, right? So the real estate agent is selling this. And by the way, as I mentioned, some of them are my best friends, but they're not investors. We are. We're going to do our research to see if we can make this happen here. If we can't, look what happens. You're going to have lower than expected cash flow. That's not good. You overpaid on the property by $100,000. How do I know that? How do I know that is if you go to your NOI. So the NOI, the broker says the property is worth this amount because the NOI is $40,000, but it's actually $33,000. That's $7,000 a year on the NOI. If you take $7,000 and you divide it by 6%, this is how you come up with a change in value in a commercial property, that's a little more than $100,000. I think it's like $116,000. So if you paid the broker the price based upon these numbers, you overpaid by $100,000. That's exactly what Warren Buffett did. So basically what you did, you paid today for what the property will be worth in the future. That is not something we want to do in commercial real estate. We want to create the best deal today and then work our behinds off, get their rents up, beautify the property so it's worth a whole lot more money down the road. If you overpay today based upon these numbers, you pay this amount and you do all the work and it's still worth this amount, that's not good. And that's what happened here because you're overconfident. So overconfidence is a big mistake. Overconfidence breeds disappointment. Now, So the question is, Peter, so what do I do? I have this video here. It's a video of my YouTube videos. It's on due diligence, how to do due diligence on a commercial property. And one of the solutions is going to help you solve this mistake. There is a solution for this mistake. So don't do this. So that is mistake number one that most multifamily investors need to avoid. Got it? Let's go to mistake number two. Mistake number two to avoid, and that is taking on extremely distressed multifamily projects. And what I mean by distress is both physical distress with the building, but also the financial stress, maybe with the seller. So I'm going to define for you what I mean by distressed and extremely distressed, because there is a big difference. A distressed multifamily project could have this. It could be 30% vacant, right? So you have 10 units and seven of them remain unoccupied for some reason. That's a distressed project. You're coming up close to breaking even or negative cash flow at this point, or 30% delinquent rents. That means then 10 people that are in a 10 unit, a third of them are not paying at all for some reason. And you may have to go through three evictions, three units you have to rehab. And at that point, you're going to be distressed. Or let's say you have deferred maintenance. You need a roof, right? You need to repair the stairs. You need to redo the parking lot because no one can get in. Or there's a huge plumbing leak. So this is I just define for you what a distressed project is. As a beginner, with our help, you can do that. You can do that. So it's risky, but not that risky. Now, the mistake some people make is taking on extremely distressed multifamily projects because they have their eye on the prize, right? They say, Peter, if I take on this extremely distressed project, look what's on the back end. And my thought is, what experience do you have working on projects like this? If you have none, if you're a beginner, don't do it. So here's what I mean by extremely distressed. And again, I'm going to go over physically and financially. So here's the first example of an extremely distressed multifamily project. Let's say the property is 100% vacant for some reason, but it has great potential. So you have a 10-unit property, a 20-unit property. All the units are empty, and it has been empty for 5 to 6 years. But if you can just fix it up, it'll be worth millions of dollars. That's a mistake for the beginner. Don't do it. And I'll give you the number one cause of failure in a second. Number two, let's say one half of the property burned down. Let's say you have a 10-unit property and one unit caught on fire and it caught the other four on fire. So you only have 5 units available, but it has huge upside. If you can get the insurance money from the seller and get all those units fixed up, it'd be worth a whole lot more money. So that is how they lure you in with the potential of the property. But as a beginner, when you have 5 burnt down units, the risk that you take and how long it would take and the city issues and the permits and the holding costs and actually watching the contractor do all the work as a beginner is a recipe for disaster. That's also a mistake. And again, I'm giving you the scenario and the potential that you can choose. I'm telling you that it's not worth the potential if you are a beginner. And number three, let's say this situation, you have 50% of the tenants aren't paying because of property management issues. This is very common when you have a bad property manager who has bad relationships with the tenants, not fixing anything. The property is tore up from the floor up and the tenants refuse to pay, half of them. And that is an extremely distressed property because not only is the property management taking you down and has these horrible relations with the tenants that needs to be resolved, but there are underlying issues that's causing all these issues, right? It could be that there's bed bugs. It could be that the toilets don't flush. It could be leaks in the ceiling. It could be any number of things. They could have allowed pit bulls on the property, and that now half of them are not paying. And guess what? Tenants do talk to one another. So if one tenant is not paying and he has a neighbor who is paying, guess what? They're going to talk. And this neighbor is going to stop paying as well. So pretty soon, this 50% turns into 100%. As a beginner, that is extremely distressed, and it takes skill to resolve an issue like this. So these three situations, 100% vacant, you have a fire on the property, or half of them are not paying because of property management issues, property issues, that is extremely risky for the beginner, because the number one cause of failure for extremely distressed multifamily projects, that is running out of money and also the lack of experience. These type of issues we can handle. I can handle. I've been there, done that. But as a beginner, if you wanted to buy something like this and try to get the potential, you're going to fail. And I don't recommend that to any beginner without expert advice and handholding along the way. So that is mistake number two. And I made it number two because a lot of you get lured into the potential of the place and not really understanding what it takes to get there. Let's go to mistake number three to avoid. Let me set the scenario for you. You have this beautiful plot of land that's zoned for an apartment building, for multifamily, and you would like to build a nice 5-unit, 12-unit structure here and own it, and that's your retirement. So I set the scene for you. Mistake number three is building new multifamily. What's the problem as a new investor wanting to build something new? Here's the problem. The problem with that is the length of time from start to finish. There is a project near one of my properties, and as neighbors, we have to get notified when a new project is going to go up so we can go contest it or encourage it or do whatever, but we know what's going to happen. So here's what happened with this project, and I think this is pretty common and why I would suggest you as a beginner to not do something new, because it took 2 years to get the submitted plans approved. So the developer hired an engineer, civil engineer, architect, everybody came together to put together plans to submit to the city to get approved to build this property here. It took 2 years of going back and forth between the city, the commissioner, the architect, the civil engineer, to plan approval, to public meetings, back and forth. It took 2 years to get that finally approved and was approved. And then it took 18 months to build, which is about average for a large apartment building. So we're talking almost 4 years from date of submittal to get built. So you had this inception building this property 4 years ago until it's completed. So my question to you, and it's 4 years that has elapsed, has the market changed? Has the demand changed? Has the style of renters, how they want to rent, has changed? That's risky because you started this 4 years ago and things probably did change. So what you end up producing, is it going to meet your expectations? That's too risky as a beginning investor, in my opinion. So the length of time from start to finish is risky. Number two is construction delays caused by, and I'm personally speaking about this, this happened to me. So construction delays caused by bad weather, labor shortage. Oh man, I tell you, during COVID, no one wanted to work. We had a big issue with this of hiring quality people. And then supply chain. You know how supply chain issues with our current leadership, supply chain issues have been a huge issue of getting supplies to complete your project. So the big question is, when you have construction delays, do you have the financial reserves or the horsepower, the dollar horsepower, the holding power to withstand all these delays? If not, you're going to get in big trouble. Most beginners, they don't realize that this area costs money. And what it comes down to is number three, the construction loan that you're going to use is going to mature at some point. So the bank will give you money to build the project, but it's not indefinite. It's not a 30-year loan. They are going to give you a construction loan before it goes to a permanent loan. And that construction loan has a time limit. So, and here's what happened. This is what happened recently with the last couple of years, is rising interest rates have caused some projects to be abandoned because they started their construction loan where the rates are really, really low and things are more affordable. Fast forward today, the rates have doubled, tripled, and now this project no longer makes sense and no longer pencils out because it took 4 years. So as a beginner, I do not recommend you build something new. That is a mistake. Here is mistake number four. Here's a scenario. You are online one day and you're on LoopNet or Crexie or some or the MLS and you see a multifamily deal and the headline says 10 cap, right? You go, whoa, it captures your attention. Then right below it says 20% cash on cash return. And then it says $4,000 a month cash flow and the price is really low. It gets you so excited. That's a mistake to chase. Here's why. The mistake is chasing high cap rate deals because the promises are high cash flow, it promises a cheap price, and it promises a high cash on cash return, high ROI. Here is the reality, all right? So number one, the reality is these high cap rate deals are not in the best areas. And you know about me, we want to have properties and our students have properties in areas that are good, where tenants actually pay rent. Because you know the saying, you can fix a property, but you can't fix a location. So in these high cap rate areas, these neighborhoods, the tenants still pay rent on time or at all. There's a correlation between the quality of the neighborhood and the quality of the tenant, unfortunately. And so these type of tenants either don't pay rent on time or pay at all, you're gonna struggle. So it's not something I recommend you do. Next, the cheap price, the lower price that you saw, you were excited because the price was so low compared to everything else you saw, the price comes with that bad neighborhood. So the lower the price, the worse the neighborhood. The higher the price, the better the neighborhood. You know that, that's common sense, right? And number three, you think you're gonna get high cash on cash return, but actually you're gonna end up with a lower cash on cash return because you're gonna have high vacancy. You're gonna have continual turnover with the tenants because you have a bad area and you're renting to people who don't pay on time. So you're gonna have higher vacancy. People will move in, they don't pay rent, they move out, you gotta do an eviction, you gotta fix up everything. And then you're actually gonna end up with lower income, and that's because of the poor rent collection. Again, when you have a very bad area, you have people that don't pay rent, so your rent collection will be low, so you're gonna experience a lower income. And number three, you're gonna have higher expenses because of one and two. You're gonna have higher expenses because when you put in the tenant into that bad area, who's maybe not the best qualified or has the best income, he's not, or he or she is not gonna pay the rent, and you're gonna end up evicting them, that's a cost. You have to market it, that's a cost. You have to clean it up, that's a cost. You have to wait a month, that's a cost. So you can see all this starts to add up where these promises are just gonna fade away because you're chasing high cap rate deals, and that is a mistake. Got it? Let's move on to mistake number five. I had a mentor and he told me this because by nature, I'm an introvert. And back then I was an extreme introvert. And he told me this, that kind of woke me up. He said, Peter, there's no such thing as a rich hermit, right? And that is so true. You need to have teammates around you, other people that are really smart around you to make you better. And that is so true. One of my favorite basketball players, Michael Jordan, very talented. He says, talent can only win you games, but to win a championship, you need intelligence and a team. That's what you need. So mistake number five is going at it alone. That is a mistake because none of us is as smart as all of us. That is so true. I would not be where I am today if I didn't have the team members that I have that will support me and create for me and provide for me to make everything better. The same applies to you. So I'm going to give you a glimpse of what your championship team should consist of. This is your group of advisors. Number one is you need a property manager, right, to be successful at multifamily with at least 10 years of experience, not 3 years, not 5 years, 10 years of experience. I'm talking the best property manager has a decade of experience. They have seen everything, okay? The good and bad markets, the good and bad people, the good and bad properties, and they've been through it all. To have a championship team, you need this type of property manager. Don't settle for less. Next is you need an investment advisor with a 20-year track record. I wonder who that may be. That's me. That's us. That's commercial property advisors. We can be on your team. Next is a lender. This is a lender who lends you money for your property who's entrepreneurial in nature. A lot of lenders are by the book. And if your deal does not fit in their box, they want nothing to do with it. And they tell them, we can't do it. No, thank you. You want a lender who's entrepreneurial, who says, Peter, it doesn't work this way, but we can probably figure out a way to do it the other way. And I have the connections that can make that happen. You need that lender. Next is you need a real estate attorney who's not a deal killer. Attorneys will tell you for days what you can't do, but rarely do they tell you what you can do. You want the attorney that will tell you what you can do, how you can structure your deal and still protect yourself and still make it worthwhile and make a lot of money while avoiding some of the mistakes, 1 through 4 that I just went through with you. And then the last one, the fifth one, is a CPA, an accountant, who understands real estate investment and is a real estate investor themselves. Many CPAs are so conservative, they do not own real estate investments. They own a house, but that's about it. Or maybe they're too young and haven't gotten started yet. You need to use someone who's experienced, who understands real estate investing and real estate investing tax planning, and is a real estate investor themselves. Those are the best ones because guess what? They are maximizing their tax benefits for themselves that they can apply to you. Direct experience, you can't replace any of that. Got it? So do not use a franchise tax advisor for your tax prep if you want to compete at the championship level. And that's what this is about, showing you how to compete at the championship level and avoiding the 5 mistakes. Got it? All right. If you hung out with me this long, you are absolutely my favorite. So I thank you. Now, if you want to learn more about what we do, I invite you to text directly to us. Text Peter to 833-942-4516. Text us any question about anything, learning how to be mentored. If you want a copy of our book, any question that you want, just send it on in. We would love to hear from you.